Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
From the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Ooh, me. Oh, my. Rocket Mortgage. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time. Folks, remember this. Rocket can. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up in less than 40 minutes. Mike DeCourcy, sporting news, college basketball writer, Fox Sports, college basketball bracketology. Everything you want to know about the NCAA tournament. Friend, Mike DeCourcy has it. You're going to love it. It's coming up at 1140. Make sure you're listening. Radio.com app, SiriusXM 206, terrestrial radio, wherever you're at. I know we're big in Georgia. I know we're huge in South Carolina. Wherever you're listening, make sure you're listening, especially at 1140. I don't know if there's any more important segment on the radio today to get you ready for college basketball than Mike DeCourcy coming up today at 1140. I will speculate no. More on college basketball in just a moment. First, we welcome in Anthony Pierno. Pierno!
Good morning, Ken.
Hello, Pierno.
Good morning.
I heard
morning.
You chickens. I heard you and Robin Lumberg, the chickens were clucking over the Snyder clip of what is
yes,
this?
Yes, the Zack Snyder cut. The Zack Snyder cut. The four-hour-long Zack Snyder
Holy
cut
Toledo.
Of Justice League.
I didn't get to see any of it.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to watch it this weekend, but that's a long time, so...
I'm watching college wrestling right now.
Hopefully,
ESPN
it's halfway
two.
Decent. College wrestling, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Speaking of wrestling,
yeah.
You know, we do have a pay-per-view tomorrow. WWE Fastlane on the WWE Network as the road to WrestleMania continues. We just got one more stop before we hit WrestleMania in Tampa Bay this year. The two-night spectacular. We'll have fans back in the building there at Raymond James Stadium. So for the
Ooh.
Top five today, we're going to do wrestling, and today's wrestling top five, we're going to do the top five wrestling finishers.
Jeez. Do we ever do top five wrestling finishers?
Of course not. Why would we be doing it then?
You write these down and make sure we
yes,
don't do it?
Okay. Yes, I will never repeat.
I vaguely remember a conversation about finishers, but it might have been before you and I were linked up. So, okay. I want to make sure. I just want to make sure, okay? I remember talking about, there's going to be one finisher in there that I remember talking so vividly about, and it was either on this show or on my weekday show, and I think it might have been this. I'm not sure. I don't want to get into that. Do I? I got friends who work for both companies, as is to a lot of people on the radio. I don't want to say that. Folks, I might just stick. I saw something a couple weeks ago on one of the programs. I'm not going to say which, and I don't even like to use the word program because it makes me feel old. I saw something on one of the major promotions 2 weeks ago where I said, you know what? This ain't for me. I'm 34. I got three kids. You guys ain't gearing this to me. I wish you guys well. I want people to have jobs and be able to celebrate this and have fun with this. But you know what? I'm just going to go back and watch my Mid-South wrestling, watch my Attitude Era, watch that, and I wish you guys the best of luck. I'm out. I'll go to the live shows. Those can be fun. I will go to when we have him back. I like a live show mostly because I like getting loaded with my buddies and going there. Kenny Kidd, my good friend Kenny Kidd from WNCX 98.5 in Cleveland. He is one of my closest, dearest friends, and going to a wrestling show with him is one of the funnest things I've ever, some of the most fun I've ever had in my life, and I mean that. He can't even hear this, and he doesn't even know. I've had more fun with him at wrestling matches than I've had with a lot of people a lot of times in my life. I will always do that, but I'm not. I'm going to find a basketball game or a baseball game or something else to watch during the weeknights. I'm out, guys. Sorry, I'm done. So, Pierno, you almost got me to say it. You almost got me to tell the scenario in which one was, but I don't need to hear a bunch of people calling me up and telling me I don't get the artistry or any of that other crap.
Oh, yeah, you know you'll hear that, yep.
I'm not Jim Cornette. I don't have time to see your tweets all day long. I'm not going to respond back to you. I don't care. 855-212-4CBS. I wish Conrad Thompson lots of luck. I wish Vic Joseph lots of luck. I'm out, baby. I love Jim Ross. I'm out. So top five finishers, right?
Yes, sir.
That'll be a good one. This is going to be tough. And I might actually have to throw a modern wrestler in there because I saw one. I go, that is a hell of a move. Might have to throw that in there. 855-212-4CBS. Guys, I'm sorry. I saw Sedona Prince's video on Twitter and Instagram. Well, I only saw it on Twitter. I'm not on Instagram. I saw it on Twitter. I felt the same way you did. I go, well, you know what? I didn't feel the same way you did. There were a lot of people who were outraged. And I'm going to tell you why you wasted your time here in a second. I wasn't outraged. I was just disappointed. I go, does nobody think in the NCAA, do you not think about how this is going to look? You're telling me somebody who is in charge of it. There are people who are in charge of this. Unless they're in charge of just, and I need an explanation. I need a better explanation than what I got. Because I can't believe, and it's not, I can't believe in 2020. I can't believe in any time that when we are so connected with each other, that somebody thought it was perfectly fine. Whether the athlete's a man, a woman, a wildebeest, a dog, a cat, whatever. That somebody thought a young athlete, I don't even know what that's called. It looks like there's a massage table and that there's a thing of free weights that looks like they're in the corner of your grandma's basement. It's something that grandma watches while she watches. Grandma picks up the weights and she does it while watching the Susan Powder videos. And Sedona Prince, good for her. She brought up the inequities of what the men's workout room was, which is, it looks like what Drago worked out of in Rocky IV. And then I see the women's, and it looks like a cheap hotel's quote-unquote weight room. It looked like a Motor Lodge hotel weight room. And I wasn't outraged. I knew you'd be outraged. I wasn't outraged. I saw the inequity. Somebody had retweeted a couple of pictures of what passes for food for the women. I could not believe. Now, this one, I was like, I don't know what this substance is. I don't know. I can't call. I thought it might be Salisbury steak. I didn't know what it was. I saw something that was mashed potatoes and then like a vegetable medley, which I don't care. If I was in the type of shape of Jay Cutler or Tom Platz or any one of those guys, or I was just Kenny Carman, I do not like vegetable medley. Vegetable medley doesn't go through. Not just thrown in frozen vegetable medley. That's not going to happen. I'll just pound Whoppers all day long before I get vegetable medley. Ain't going to work. And some sort of thing that is supposed to pass for meat, but it had a lot of the poke holes in it. You know what I'm talking about, Pierno? Like, I can see this picture, and it's got a lot of poke holes in it. Like, you know, it's processed, and a lot of athletes, especially at that level, at D1 college basketball, you're not trying to eat a bunch of processed foods. You have to, but you're not trying to. All your trainers tell you you're not supposed to. So there's many of these inequities, and immediately Twitter went nuts. Don Staley went nuts, rightfully so, by the way. They all went nuts. They all had great big think pieces and statements and how disgusted they were and how outraged they were with the NCAA. And there are so many times, guys, where social media works. it works. Where the collective outrage, I think it is still a fantasy place. It's still a place that does not have as much impact as what we think it does. But without a doubt, I can't sit here and look at Twitter for the last 10 years like I have because it's been my job and say that this website does not work to seek some change in society. I know that it does. I know that it does, except with the NCAA. I've been one of the guys, and I'm telling you right now, I've given up. The NCAA will make good. I think they will. I think they'll have good food again for the women. I can't believe they would expect you to eat that slop. Sorry, ladies. Good God. I believe that they'll do better. They say they're already working to rectify the situation with the weight room. Gonna have to go get some old squat racks from down at the Y. Ugh. But they're working on the situation to rectify things with the weight room. And the country was outraged. I wasn't outraged. I had like a disgusting smirk. Or not a disgusting, but a disgusted smirk. Because it's just more the same. Folks, we've been outraged with the NCAA way before Twitter. Way before Twitter existed and way after Twitter exists where we'll probably have holograms and all types of other things. We've been outraged way before this about the NCAA. I remember being a kid and watching the Fab Five and even in hearing some of the conversation. I used to watch sports reporters and hear some of the conversation that goes around college football players and college basketball players and why they should be paid. I mean, the conversation about college football players and basketball players and student athletes getting paid, that's been going on for 40 years. Whether or not they should be paid, whether or not it's a true value, whether or not you're getting some sort of value back, that whole thing, I heard it for a long time. Twitter is not new to this, and the NCAA is not new to this, and people were plenty outraged, and they're trying to make some sort of a change. You'll get your change, and rightfully so. You should have more than just a couple of weights that your grandma might use while she's watching old Richard Simmons videos. You should have probably better food than something with a bunch of holes poked into it that look, I bet there's vets out there that have had better MREs than the picture I'm looking at right now. I'm willing to bet. They'll get that. But guys, the NCAA doesn't care about your outrage. They didn't care then, they don't care now, and they won't care in the future. Well, ratings are down, Ken. Yeah, ratings are down. They're not down because you're protesting. There is nobody sitting in their living room. There might be a couple of people, but there are very, very few people sitting in their living room going, I'm not watching NCAA basketball because of the inequities between the men and the women. I'm not watching NCAA football because they won't pay the student athletes. No, not a chance. Not a chance in hell. And they know that you know, and they know you know that they don't care. And you should know if you didn't know, they don't care. Mark Emmert doesn't care. The NCAA, they don't care. If we're doing movie references like Tommy Lee Jones, they don't care. They will deal with this. Fine. We'll give you your weights. We'll give you your food. Enough. Fine. Yeah, they'll weather the storm. They'll hear the statements. They'll read the statements. They'll hear the online conversation. They'll hear guys like me wax on poetically and fill the air with a bunch of hot air about all this, and they won't care. Because still, while there's less eyes watching all of it, and I'm talking about the two major sports, college basketball and college football, men's and women's college basketball and college football, there's less eyes on all of it. People are paying less attention of it. They say they're bored by college basketball, even though there's no blue bloods, but you all say you want big upsets. You want Cinderella tales. You want Cinderella stories. There's nothing but Cinderella stories here. No Duke, no Kentucky to root against. Y'all say you want it, here you go, but there will probably be low ratings for this, just like there's been low ratings for college football because we say we're bored because you still have Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson every single year and maybe a little bit of a dusting of Oklahoma or Georgia or somebody else. You say you're bored by that, there's still people, less people watching. But the NCAA, but not counting the college football playoffs, of course, because that's a different entity altogether, but the NCAA and their member institutions continue to make money hand over fist. We're watching less, and we're not watching for the reasons we say we're not watching on social media. We're so angry and frustrated and outraged with how they treat these college athletes. We're not watching because of that. It's still the foundation of entertainment. It's still, if a lot of people will watch, there will still be money to be made. If a lot of people see it, there will still be money to be made. And they're still going to get sponsors out of it. They still make enough money to take care of everybody, and they will in the future, even after the pandemic. They took a bath, and some schools even went out of business in sports and even out of business altogether and took some sports away. But in the future, they'll have their TV deals. They will have their networks. They will have their major sponsors. They don't care how you feel about whether or not they should pay the center for the BYU Cougars. They don't give a damn. They don't. They never have, and I don't think they ever will. They don't. They'll release statements, and they say they care. They don't, because we do this every single year with something in college football or college basketball or something out there where somebody couldn't fly home to see their mother, and a coach gave somebody money to fly home to see their mother as their mother was on their deathbed, and here comes big bad Mark Emmert and says, you can't do that. Because you can't do that for every single student, and it's wrong, and how the coach is terrible, and how the player, even though his mother's dying, he's terrible some way, somehow, and there's going to be NCAA infractions, and Jay Billis and everybody, they get their panties in a bunch, and they say, this is wrong, and nobody cares. The NCAA doesn't care. They'll still make their money. We're watching college basketball, it's March Madness. We're betting on college basketball, it's March Madness. They're going to make their money. And they know they're going to make their money. And they don't care. Even if the ratings fall, they don't care. Less eyes, more money. Somehow, some way, they up their price, they make more money, and there's less of us watching. Been a weird year for sports. Thought there was going to be this cornucopia coming back last fall, and we'd watch all the sports. It ended up fracturing fan bases because there's people who, they just love football, and so they're not going to watch other sports because they just love football. There's people who love golf, and they're just going to watch golf, and it hurt instead of helped all the sports. We'll see how this all shakes out. Cord cutting doesn't help. Ratings, Nielsen ratings, is still a little bit antiquated. That doesn't help out anything. But there still seems to be plenty of big league brands that want to work with the NCAA and put their names on the backs of the student athletes and have all the types of different recognition that comes with it. And now, see, we have a pandemic. They have all the excuses in the world to take the money from major sponsors. And why not? We're all for making money. And you'll say, except when it comes to paying college players. And I would say, yeah, probably they deserve something. They're making a lot of money for something. Anything worth doing over the age of 18 is probably worth doing and getting paid for it. The NCAA don't care. They don't care about me bitching. They don't care about you calling. They don't care about your tweets. They don't care. They'll tell you they do. They're pandering to you. They don't care. They didn't care before this website. They don't care about Sedona Princes. And you could say it's wrong, and I'll agree with you, because I do think it's wrong. I think it's wrong, and I hope there's going to be a day where it comes back and bites them in the ass. And that's originally what I wrote it out on the tees, because when I thought about this just yesterday, I wrote there was a time the NCAA could get away with it. Not anymore. And then I thought about that, and I go, hell no. How does that even make sense, Ken? It doesn't make any sense. The NCAA gets away with it all the time, and they'll continue to get away with it. Because it's still a system where if you want to go pro in something, you do this. If you want to go pro in professional basketball or football, you still need to go about this most of the time. Because we are still connected. We might not watch as much as we do, but there's nobody whose alma mater are the main Red Claws or the Canton Charge. They're Ohio State fans. They're Boston College fans. They went there. Their parents went there, their grandparents went there, or their Subway alum, and they just grew up loving the programs. Nobody loves D-League basketball, G-League basketball, whatever you want to call it. Nobody loves G-League basketball, except for the people playing in it and the people who work for the teams. People love college football and basketball and baseball and the schools and all that because they went there, they have an emotional connection. And the NCAA knows it. And so the NCAA knows that because you're emotional about it, people will still continue to pay for it, and this is still a way to make your life better. Because if you go to the G League and you make it, congratulations. If you go to the G League and you fail, you still need to pay for college. If you want to go to college. And this is still where they have a way that if you want to go to college, they have a way that you can pay for it. And it's by playing college sports. And as long as they have that, they are not going to care about this segment that I just spent too much time on or you and your crafted tweets that you spent too much time on. I wish it were different, but it's not. 855-212-4CBS. Up next, top five finishers. Well done, Pierno. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS. We got Mike DeCourcy coming up at 11:40. Coming up next. It's going to be fantastic. 11:40 a.m. Eastern also. This might not just change a franchise in the NFL or the NFL, but sports all together forever. More on Deshaun Watson coming up at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. It's time for the top five finishing moves. We're going to change it up because Pierno's so much better at it than I am. I'm going to give my top five finishers. Then Pierno, I'm just going to go on first. He gets the big name on the marquee. He gets to go. He thinks of the top five. He works his ass off. He gets the time. So away I go with my top five finishers. You ready here, Pierno?
Let's go.
Number five, Spinebuster. Love Arn. You know how I feel about Arn Anderson. He was the four horseman that no matter what I thought of Tully, no matter what I thought about Paul Roma or any one of the other guys, or Mongo, or obviously Ric Flair and Ole and all, I still, no matter what Arn Anderson said, I've never hated Arn Anderson. I've always loved Arn Anderson. Bad guy, good guy, doesn't matter. The Spinebuster was devastating. I love Arn Anderson. He's got to be one of my top five favorite wrestlers of all time, and Spinebuster I'm putting at number five. He's never been a showman, so that's why it drops him a little bit. He was nuts and bolts, meat and potatoes wrestling. Number four, Tombstone Piledriver, without a doubt. Just devastating in every moment. Something that nobody kicked out of at the beginning of The Undertaker's career. Then, like, only the greatest guys could kick out of that type of thing. Shawn Michaels, most notable example. Tombstone Piledriver, number four. Number three, sometimes this wasn't necessarily a finisher, but I had to put it anyway because the optics of it, Macho Man Randy Savage wasn't like a 6'5" monster. It wasn't like he was the shrimpiest person ever. But he'd go up to the top rope, and you know what I'm talking about. WrestleMania 3, the arms raised in the air. It looks so big. The flash bulbs are popping. Gorilla Monsoon, he's on his target, bombs away. Like that type of thing. I love the flying elbow. It looked like he was going 40 feet in the air to connect and be like, sometimes, man, the guy was in the other corner and he would seem to find a way to connect. So number three, flying elbow. Number two, sweet chin music. Not to be confused with super kick. Sweet chin music. Was the one with Bobby Lashley, Bobby Lashley's been around forever. Was that the one I'm thinking of here, Pierno? Where he went flying over the top rope and jumped off and Shawn Michaels caught him in the air? Greatest super kick I ever saw. I want to say it was Bobby Lashley. You may not know. But super sweet chin music, quick, out of nowhere, it would bring the match to a crescendo, and then out of nowhere, boom, end of match. Shawn Michaels puts you out. Sweet chin music, done. And sometimes the other guy, the opponent had this real good offensive thing going on. He was really putting it to Shawn Michaels, and boom, out of it. Number one, Stone Cold Stunner. Stone Cold Stunner. And the best bump ever, Stone Cold Stunner. Everybody knows what I'm going to say. Razor Ramon, I mean, into the air.
What about The Rock? What about The Rock?
The Rock was okay. I would put Rock, Vince McMahon and the Fish. I would actually put that up there. I thought that was actually pretty good. A lot of people disagree with me on that. But come on, Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, just that where he fell, he's like woozy, then he got it again, and he just does this huge jump into the air and comes down flat on the back and is out. It's fantastic sell. That's number one. Go ahead, Pierre.
All right, and I'll put these out on social media afterwards so everybody else
Please.
Can chime in. Speaking
yes.
of Razor Ramon, he comes in at number five for me, the Razor's Edge. I love this. Razor would hoist his opponent over his head as if maybe to deliver the power bomb, but then the opponent drops all the way down, so you have Razor holding him up over his head by his arms, and then Razor would just drive the opponent right down into the mat with the top of the back making contact and taking the blow. It just looked devastating. It looked like it would really hurt. Visually, it looked impressive. It was showy. It was great when Hall would lift like a 300-pound-plus guy up there in the crucifix, but I liked it better when he had like a small, skinny wrestler, say someone like the 1-2-3 Kid, because that's when he could really elevate them high above his head. So I love the Razor's Edge. That comes in at number five for me. Number four, I loved CM Punk's GTS to go to sleep. Again, visually, it looks impressive. Punk dropping his opponent's face right into that striking knee, and it appears to be painful. It's also a move that can be done spontaneously, which I like. You don't always see it coming, which is exciting. And again, the move just fits the character. Punk, with a background in mixed martial arts, specializing in Muay Thai, so a big part of that style is the utilization of the knees. And it was a unique move from a unique superstar. So the go-to-sleep CM Punk at number four. Number three, I'm going with Jake Roberts' DDT. Now, unfortunately, the move has been diminished, like many other things in professional wrestling today. But, and you know, because now it's a move that's routinely done in the middle of a match, and guys always kick out of it. But, you know, driving your opponent's head into the mat with full force should result in victory, and that's how Jake made his living there in the 80s, and it's a vicious move. The way that Jake, you know, presented it, he did it in a way that it made it look incredibly effective. So, and then of course, after that DDT, you know what was next, the 1-2-3, and then Damien the Python was coming out. So just that whole element there also is very cool with it. So Jake Roberts, the DDT at number three. Number two, going with Kurt Angle and the ankle lock, the only Olympic gold medalist in WWE history. But just between the facial expressions, the popping veins in the arms and the neck, and he was just looking to inflict pain on his opponent, and like you could feel that pain coming through the television screen. It's also a great finisher because it's a move that it can be applied on someone in any given situation and turn around a match in the blink of an eye. And I know I mentioned Kurt Angle, but of course Ken Shamrock also used that ankle lock.
Can I jump in for a second?
Yeah.
I just, before you rank number one, because I don't want to take anything from you. I got it wrong. It was Shelton Benjamin who came off the top rope. Thank you to Robert and thank you to Michael on Twitter. Go right on ahead. I was drawing a total blank. Thank you guys both. Go right on ahead.
So, Shamrock also did the ankle lock. And, boy, when he would get that locked in, his eyes bulging and he was screaming. It looked devastating. And then, you know, you had the guys that were selling it. I love the ankle lock. So that was number two. And number one, Banzai, baby, Yokozuna. The Banzai drop. Come on, man. That was unique. No one else did it. Of course, no one else should do it because there's no other guys that are weighing in at 600 pounds. But that move, again, just made perfect sense for the character. I think the most decimating move in the history of professional wrestling. Yokozuna dragging his opponent into the corner. The victim just laying there. Yoko climbs to the second rope. Bounces a few times. Bam! Boom! That fat ass, baby. 600 pounds of flesh just sitting on another man's chest. You know, you can't get up from that.
That's
so good. It was effective. It was believable. It always got a reaction from the crowd. I mean, you could hear, like, the crowd stirring when Yoko would drag his opponent to the corner. And then when he landed, you could hear, like, the gasp from everyone in the crowd.
Did you watch that documentary, by the way?
Yeah, I liked it. It was good.
It was great. It was great. You know, all those documentaries are very long, but they're all good. And he was one of the wrestlers when I was a kid. Like, I had to see him. The music would come out, and you knew, like, when the music, like, it, like, something big is going to come out of here, and it's amazing. Like, the music was so calm. And he was just so great, man. Yokozuna was, I think he's actually underrated. And there was somebody did a watch along, and it was a match with Yokozuna and Lex Luger, and Lex Luger is the one who's winded, not Yokozuna. Like, Lex Luger is blown up out there, and Yokozuna's like, come on, let's go, like that type of thing. You are, man, you magnificent bastard, Pirno. That was so good. Damn, I forgot about the Banzai drop.
Can't forget about the Banzai drop, baby.
Honorable mention, real quick, moonsault, Vader's moonsault. And then Mandible Claw, because it's the only throwback. I know that's, you know, Mick Foley made it famous in our generation, but it's like the only throwback there. Because back before, you know, they were just trying to win the match. They were trying to, you know, beat opponents. So there were finishers, but there wasn't like finishers like we know. So, all right, fantastic, Pirno. You did a great job on that one, as you always do. Noon, we'll get back to the Watson stuff. 12:20 p.m. Eastern, Worker Shoot, Mike Girardi in just over an hour. Up next, what happened to Ohio State? How's Q's ranked? How's Q's got an 11 seed? Is Middle Tennessee State going to be able to beat Tennessee in women's basketball? We will ask Mike DeCourcy all these questions coming up next. As Mike DeCourcy joins us right now, it's the latest sports update with Marco Belletti.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
1 hour from now, we'll talk NFL with Mike Girardi, but you heard the music. It's time to talk hoops. We welcome in from Sporting News, from Fox Sports, Mike DeCourcy. Find him on Twitter at TSN Mike. He joins us on the show. Mike, I'm going to tell you right now, because I couldn't say it on Twitter because I didn't want anybody getting the receipts, I think you're my favorite college basketball guest, but I only wrote one of my favorites because I didn't want to upset anybody else. I mean that sincerely.
I get that. You know, I always love when I get on and I get somebody to say I'm one of the best college basketball writers in America, and I'm like, I'm on your show right now. Do you really have to qualify it?
What, you know what? I didn't even think about that. Shouldn't I say I only get the best, so shouldn't you just be the best? Like, I can't say, like, you know, he's substandard, but we can only get this guy. No, it's Mike DeCourcy. Yes. Yeah, you know what, damn it. I've been doing this for a while now. I haven't been doing this forever, but I've been doing this for a while now. You just taught me something about radio. Here we go. Mike DeCourcy joining us on the show. I got to start off with a hot subject that doesn't even have to do with anything that happened on the floor. I saw Sedona Prince's video. And, Mike, this might be my fault. I'm desensitized to it. Like, I know that people were outraged, and I saw Dawn Staley. She was outraged. A lot of people were upset. And I totally get it, but I go, I just don't think the NCAA cares. Like, okay, they'll fix it, but I don't think they care. I think they make their money, and that's it. I think that they didn't care a long time before Twitter, and I think they'll probably don't care a long time after Twitter. I hope I'm wrong. Please tell me I'm wrong, Mike.
Oh, I don't think there's any question they care. I think that they failed. They failed on a few, you know, they had a lot to get done in a very short amount of time in both Indianapolis and in San Antonio. And they failed on the front of assuring that the women's basketball teams had sufficient workout equipment, et cetera. And they failed in the case of the officials who came to Indianapolis, and there were no hotel rooms ready for them, and for several, at least, of the six that had to leave, for several of them, there were no rooms ready at 5 or 6 o'clock at night. And so there were circumstances that did not get covered in both the men's and the women's tournament, but it was a massive undertaking on both fronts. And mistakes are going to be made, and those were the mistakes they made. And they get a lot of criticism when they make mistakes, and they don't get much reward other than the money when they don't make mistakes. No one in the media says, "Boy, man, the NCAA they do an unbelievable job running tournaments." I mean, all they do is get criticized for not doing an unbelievable job adjudicating violations cases. They're not good at that. That's quite obvious. But they are really good at staging championships, and they've never had to stage two massive championships in one site on 3 months prep or less in the history of the organization. And at this point, I can't say that they haven't done a good job. I mean, yesterday was a pretty good day for the men's NCAA tournament. Maybe the women will have days that good as well. We'll see how it goes.
Mike DeCourcy joining us, Sporting News, also Fox Sports. Follow him on Twitter, at TSN Mike. Speaking of yesterday, Ohio State gets beat by Oral Roberts. Did you see it coming? Did anybody other than Oral Roberts see it coming?
No, I mean, I wasn't surprised that they got pushed because that happens in this tournament. But when the team that gets pushed doesn't win is rare. Usually when a team like Ohio State takes a late lead, then all of a sudden the team that's trailing, the smaller level team, starts to feel like, oh gosh, we had it and we blew it, and then they start to go away. And in this case, Oral Roberts didn't, and good for them. It was a an impressive performance on their part, especially in the overtime period. And, of course, North Texas did the same thing when they played Purdue.
Because of where I'm at geographically, I end up watching a lot of Big Ten college basketball. And I see Dwayne Washington. There's one point where you're up by four, and I see bad shot selection. And at least what I think is bad shot selection. You'll probably feel differently. But, I go back to the Big Ten tournament. Michigan, Ohio State. Michigan's pounding the air out of the ball. Last second shot, fall away three. Ohio State, Illinois. And Illinois ended up winning this game. Pound the air out of the ball. Last second shot, fall away three. Yesterday, more of the same. And that's Ohio State. Three separate programs, Big Ten. And I know it's not just them. I know that's the way it's coached now. Take the three, get the three, spread out the defense, hit three-pointers. But I just look at it and I go, wait a minute, you're either down by one, you're tied, you're up. Why are we doing this? And I hate to call it hero ball. I know that's how they're taught. But why are we doing it this way instead of, you look up at the clock. To me, it says common sense. The quickest way between 2 points is a straight line. I know a defense can collapse on you, but let's try to feed it inside and shorten up the distance here.
I think that what they had wanted to do in that circumstance was they wanted to get Dwayne to hit the lane and see what could happen. And I, in the defense of throwing the ball inside, remember that prior to that, there had been turnovers from E.J. Liddell on throwing it inside. And he was going to get double teamed. And how confident are you that the ball's coming out cleanly, given what had happened on some of the other double teams? So I understand that. I thought Dwayne should have gotten moving to the lane. I don't like the ISO pullback step back three. I don't like that shot. It's too much of a hit or miss. Are you going to make some of them? Sure. Are you going to miss some of them? Sure. But if you watched, it was the first four game on Thursday night, and it wasn't the very last second shot. But Norfolk State, they hit the lane, and they absolutely forced App State to foul them. And I'm not even 100% sure that App State did foul them, but they put the official in a position where he didn't have any choice but to call a foul. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a really smart play, a really sharp play by the coach and the player. They just left App State in a defenseless position. And I think that Ohio State has the athletes to do that to Oral Roberts. I think that Michigan had the athletes to do that the prior week to Ohio State. I'm a believer in that. That sometimes you're going to put the official in a position to make a call, and he might not make it because of the whole swallow the whistle thing. Uh-huh. But okay, that's no different for you than doing that step back three and missing it. You still didn't get the result you wanted, but at least you put yourself in a better position. And the other thing is that if you hit the lane at about 4 seconds, say, and you don't score, the ball comes off the rim, well, it's not over. I mean, you've got a chance at that point to maybe get a rebound. You've got E.J. Liddell out there. Maybe he pulls it down and puts it back in. That's what they missed by taking that deep three. They missed the second chance that they were entitled to and that they probably would have had an advantage in getting.
Mike DeCourcy joining us, Sporting News, Fox Sports. Again, follow him on Twitter, at TSN Mike. I don't have a whole lot of time, so I got to ask you this. I've been talking about Gonzaga. We've been talking about Gonzaga since I was a small child. They're 26-0. They're facing history here. They're trying to chase history. There's a lot of pressure. This being a different year still from others, do they have to win this? Is this the year they just – it's not a, oh, they can did it. They have to win this tournament and finally get over the hump?
Well, I think that when you have an opportunity like they have, if you don't win it, you'll always feel like Vegas 91 does, like Kentucky 2015 does. Mm. You'll always feel that we should have done this. We were the best team. We had the opportunity, and we didn't do it. So it's not that if they don't do it now, they'll never do it. I mean, we've seen teams that had an opportunity, and then all of a sudden they came back and won it later with teams that weren't as great as the one that didn't. But I will say that they will feel like they missed a great opportunity if they aren't able to win this year. But it's highly unlikely that if they do lose it, they'll lose it to somebody that's not exceptional, somebody like Michigan or Alabama or Illinois or Baylor, someone like that. I think it's going to take a really good team to defeat them.
Do I have to look up for Syracuse coming out of that Midwest bracket all of a sudden? Because there were people who were upset that they were even put in this tournament, let alone getting an 11 seed, and then they look really, really good against San Diego State.
Coming out all the way out or staying alive for a little while?
I know they got Illinois. They'll be lurking, but I don't think they're not going to lurk there until, the Elite Eight. So, The Elite Eight, now we're talking about some big business here.
Yeah, I don't think they're coming out of the Midwest, but they're a problem for teams in March because they, by the time they get there, they are pretty practiced at what they do with the zone, and other teams that don't play in their conference haven't seen it a lot. We saw it in 2018 when a Michigan State team that had Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson and had an exceptional year in the Big Ten just couldn't deal with it and went home, and Syracuse went on to the Sweet 16. So it happens. It's happened before, and it happened yesterday, and that was one I called. I had a feeling that San Diego State would not have comfort playing against that defense.
By the way, 60 seconds, who did you pick to win the whole thing?
I picked Gonzaga.
And for the reasons you might have said already?
They have the best team. They have great players in Jalen Suggs. When they won the BYU game in the West Coast Conference Final, that was a big moment for them, not just because they got in a competitive game and felt what it was like, but because how Jalen Suggs responded to that. He said, I'm not losing. We're not losing. Get on my back. And you're going to need that guy at some point in this tournament. And the fact that Suggs was willing to do it was huge for them.
Mike, can't thank you enough for the time. You're fabulous as always. Hopefully we'll be able to get you on again very, very soon in the future. All the best, my friend.
Absolutely, Ken. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike DeCourcy joining us from the Sporting News, also Fox Sports, seen him on Big Ten Network, the whole thing at TSN Mike. I always loved Mike because he was one to have fun. One time I called, I said, is Jim Boeheim a whiner? And he kind of agreed. Just because of the whole, he's always thrown me off about the Greensboro Coliseum stuff. Boeheim, not a likable guy. There's times I've liked him, times I haven't. And when I saw they got the 11 seed, I'm going, come on. Well, I guess they got to have some team in there that people are really, really excited about. There are people who have polarizing thoughts on. And then, of course, they go out and they beat up on San Diego State. And then they would have a chance going forward. It's typical. Gosh, I don't want to be sitting here next week on classic Boeheim. Ugh, sounds so terrible. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up, more on Deshaun Watson, how this could change sports altogether, and superpower stories are always going to trump Cinderella stories in both movies and with how we watch our sports. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.